be under a shelter-in-place order.
McDonald, though, said he did not know the man was handcuffed and was trying to use his foot to pin him to the ground so he could be handcuffed.
If your friends, neighbors, or local organizations are not complying, report them to us.
Howdy, y'all, and welcome to the Free Georgia Podcast. My name is Jake Green. Thank you so much for joining me today. I missed last week. Had a really busy weekend last weekend, so didn't get one recorded. And we're actually live today. Today is a live episode. I like to do these things live, especially when I'm talking about Bitcoin, so I can answer any questions that anyone might have. And today is going to be all about Bitcoin wallets, Bitcoin storage. Why Bitcoin? I'm always going to try to answer that question. But before we get started, we have a big endeavor happening at the moment. Ballot access. For those who don't know, ballot access is a super important thing for third parties, especially here in Georgia. We are, our state is actually ranked 50th out of 50 for ballot access for third parties, which means it is extremely difficult for third parties to get on ballots. It takes tens of thousands of signatures, a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of resources in order for us to be able to do that. And our ballot access is in jeopardy. And we have a team working on this. You can go to freedomindeed.com to learn about what we're doing to increase our chances at ballot access and prolong it into the future. Because there's a very real possibility that in the 2026 elections, we won't be able to have any statewide candidates on the ballot. So go to freedomindeed.com to learn more and figure out what you can do to help and what we're currently doing in the state of Georgia to try to get us ballot access. All right, y'all. Yeah, today's episode should be about 30 minutes long. Shouldn't take too much of your time. It's all about Bitcoin. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about. It's all about how to store your Bitcoin. We'll go over a little bit of the buying process as well. There are four ways in which you can become a part of the Bitcoin world. You can buy Bitcoin on an exchange. You can do it through a hot wallet, cold wallet, or you can buy a Bitcoin ETF. Bitcoin ETFs, they just launched a couple months ago. They've been trying to get them accepted by the SEC for, I think, a decade, and they finally accepted it. I think there are 19 or so. If that's right, let me pull that up. I believe there are 19 Bitcoin ETFs. And this is a great little article from NerdWallet is a great little article about like what is a spot Bitcoin ETF. It goes over all the fees from all these different places where you can join in on the ETFs. However, that is not what I'd like to focus on for the most part. So I'm a Bitcoin maximalist, which means I only have Bitcoin. I don't believe if you want to gamble with your money, if you want to do something like play the stock market, you know, bet on college basketball, then crypto outside of Bitcoin, is where you would do that because we affectionately call them shit coins because, I guess they're officially known as altcoins, but they're not based on anything. They are proof of stake, which we're not going to get into that, but it is generally the same as what our current dollar system is. It will lead to inflation, it will lead to manipulation, it will lead to the downfall of whatever coin it is. And the only one that is complete proof of mining is Bitcoin, which means it takes energy. It takes power in order for Bitcoin to be mined and the Bitcoin network to stay alive. So it's very similar to how gold is mined. The amount of energy that it takes to mine gold basically takes away from the inflation that the increase in the gold supply would cause. And so Bitcoin is a very, very similar thing. But yeah, today we're going to talk about wallets. So ETFs, they're the second best way to own Bitcoin. They're the second best way. If you don't want to deal with all the wallets, if you don't want to deal with learning about all of this stuff that we're going to talk about and diving in deep at this moment, then Bitcoin ETF might be for you. I would, however, highly suggest you look into what will be the primary topic of today's podcast, which is cold wallet, cold storage wallet. One thing that people do know that is generally, it's one of the bigger platforms out there, is Coinbase. Okay, so Coinbase is what we call an exchange. It's a place where you have a wallet within their system. They make it very user-friendly. It is very easy to use. It's very tempting to use. They do all the right things to make you want to use it because it's convenient, it's pretty, it's very user-friendly. This is how I got started in Coinbase. Okay, so there are benefits to it, like especially if someone's trying to pay you in something other than Bitcoin, they can pay you on these exchanges in something other than Bitcoin. They can pay you in Ethereum, Cardano, Solana, any other coin basically is supported on Coinbase. The issue with holding your money on Coinbase is that just like your money in the bank, you don't actually own your money. Okay, if Coinbase were to go bankrupt tomorrow, or start losing a bunch of money and they needed cash, they could dip into your account and take your money. It is also far more susceptible to hacks since it's kept online and not with you. It's with a third party, in this instance, Coinbase. And so while they do make it extremely easy to buy, it might be a good place to learn about how crypto works and how trading all of that works and setting up a wallet and, you know, test it out with $10, $15. If you're keeping more than $10 in Coinbase, you're doing it improperly and you should really rethink. You should really rethink your storage solution. There are so many of these besides Coinbase. I'm not going to go into all of them. There are dozens. Maybe hundreds at this point. I don't really know. But I got my money off of Coinbase about 6 months into learning about crypto and very, very happy that I did so. You'll hear about things, if you haven't heard about the FTX scandal, Sam Bankman-Fried basically swindled a whole bunch of investors. That was an exchange. They had advertisements during the Super Bowl where all these different celebrities were vouching for this idiotic product that was basically using fractional reserve banking, taking people's investments and spending it or investing it into something else that then tanked, that then cost people billions and billions of dollars. So the moral of the story is don't keep your hard-earned dollars, your hard-earned crypto, your hard-earned money on an exchange because that it's just not yours. It's not your money. Somebody could easily come in and take it. That being said, it's easiest to buy on an exchange like this. So the exchange that I would highly recommend is Swan Bitcoin. This is how I do my business. This is where I buy all of my Bitcoin and then I immediately send it into my cold wallets, depending on which wallet I need at that moment. And they have incredible customer service. Okay. They explain everything step by step. It is very user friendly. They highly encourage you to take your Bitcoin off of their platform as soon as you buy it. There's no other exchange that does that. There's no other exchange that says, yes, we helped you purchase it. You have your temporary wallet here, but please do not keep your Bitcoin on our platform. It's much safer if you keep it in a cold wallet. That in and of itself should speak to the quality of their product. And one of our members here in Georgia, Shane Hazel, I believe still works for Swan Bitcoin. So he's how I got into Swan. And I mean, I'm telling you, they are very easy to work with, and they make it extremely simple for you to be able to set up an account, buy Bitcoin, and send it on to your cold wallet. Okay. So Swan Bitcoin, highly recommend. Go. They've got all sorts of stuff. You can have a retirement plan. You can talk with them about opening an IRA. There's all sorts of stuff that you can go to on the Swan Bitcoin website. I'm not going to go through how to set up an account because it is extremely easy. Just click this get started button and it will just lead you through it step by step. It's extremely simple. Like I said, thoroughly enjoyed working with them. There we go. Free withdrawals, free Bitcoin to self-custody, or withdraw Bitcoin to self-custody for free. That is the key right there. They want you to put your Bitcoin in your own custody, in your own cold wallet. Like I said, there's a bunch of different ways to buy Bitcoin and to hold, store Bitcoin. One of which is a hot wallet. So this was an exchange. Coinbase was an exchange. A hot wallet is a way to keep your crypto. MetaMask is an example of a hot wallet. It's only online. In this case, it is strictly a, what are these things called? A plugin for your browser. I don't care for MetaMask. MetaMask is extremely confusing. Most of the hot wallets I've found are extremely confusing. They don't really offer you any good benefits that a cold wallet couldn't or that an exchange couldn't. And I feel like from my experience, they're far more susceptible to hacks, about as susceptible as an exchange would be. I don't really understand the benefit of a hot wallet. So I would recommend not even messing with these things. They will not do what you want them to do. And there's just really no point. Put your money in a cold wallet, or keep it, you know, in Swan if you're going to move it around somewhat soon. All right. That brings us to cold wallets. All right. What a cold wallet is basically, all right, when it comes to Bitcoin, the best and the scariest thing about Bitcoin is that you are your own bank. Okay. Once you get off the exchanges and you are putting your money into your own little wallet, okay, you are your own bank, which means you are in charge of the security of your Bitcoin. But it also means that you're not going to be charged any fees for storing your Bitcoin anywhere. You're not going to have to go through any red tape to send your Bitcoin. You're not going to have to jump through any hoops that financial organizations tend to make you jump through if you are using their system. And so one really good way to make sure that you have security of your Bitcoin is to have a few different wallets. Okay. Much very similar to having like a checking account, a savings account, an investment account, that kind of thing. Set up multiple different wallets. Store your Bitcoin in a few different places, and always maintain your keys, very securely, a place where somebody couldn't find them, which we'll get to here in a second. One of the most user-friendly Bitcoin wallets, oh man, there's just so much to go through. I feel like I could probably turn this into a 2-hour episode, but I'm not going to because the national championship's tonight and I'm going to go watch the national championship. All right. So when it, yeah, this is the funny thing. There are cold wallets that store all types of crypto. Okay. There are cold wallets that you can store Bitcoin, Ethereum, Cardano, all the cryptos, can go on one wallet. Then there are Bitcoin-only wallets, okay? Blockstream Jade, that is one. Cold Card, that is one. Electrum, that's one. These are all Bitcoin-only wallets, which means they're far more secure. They're far safer. There's already a minuscule likelihood of you losing your Bitcoin. But keeping it in a cold Bitcoin-only wallet is the safest possible way to store your Bitcoin. Okay. If you think about it like this, if a wallet has to support the, I don't even know how many dadgum coins are out there now, like probably like 10,000. There's probably 10,000 different coins out there at this point. And if a wallet has to support the code for all of those altcoins, the likelihood of a hack, of a vulnerability somewhere in those 10,000 different supported coins is far greater. Okay, there's far more code, there's far more possibilities for a cyber attack on that. Because there's going to certain coins are going to make a mistake, there's going to be glitches, there's going to be errors. There's just far more surface area to attack if you're a hacker or whatever they're called. I guess they're called hackers. And so a Bitcoin only has only the software for Bitcoin, which greatly limits its vulnerability. And mind you, Bitcoin is already pretty invulnerable. Okay, so Bitcoin only wallets reduce that surface area and bring it down to a nice, tight, compact, secure platform. And so when you get a cold wallet, it is best to keep, if you're saving for the long term, if this is like your savings account that you don't need to dip into very often, Cold Card is the one. Okay. Cold Card is the one you should get. It is a little, there is a learning curve. Okay. There's a learning curve with all of this. That's why you're listening to me talk about this. There's a learning curve with Cold Card. However, it is extremely secure. It is air gapped, which means it is not connected to the internet, which is fantastic. It has all sorts of great features. This is their fourth edition. This is the Mark IV. They keep improving it, which, of course, you want them to do that. It is affordable. I think it's $157. That might be Canadian. I don't know, which would make it much cheaper for us. There are a whole bunch of positives when it comes to the Cold Card, as opposed to this first one, which is the Blockstream Jade. Blockstream Jade is really good for beginners. So if you're just getting into it, get a Blockstream Jade. It's super simple to use, very self-explanatory. It doesn't take a lot of learning new skills to put some Bitcoin onto Blockstream Jade. Okay, they give you step by step. It's extremely simple. The interface is very intuitive and user-friendly. So if you're brand new to Bitcoin, Blockstream Jade is a great choice. If you are in this for the long haul, if you want to store your crypto or your Bitcoin for a very long time, Cold Card is the way to go. You can also check out something like Electrum. You can also check out something like Sparrow. Okay. I'll put all of these in the episode description after I'm done. I should have put these in beforehand, but I didn't because I failed to do so. So yeah, these would all be considered cold wallets, okay? Especially the Cold Card. It's air-gapped. It never connects to the internet. That's exactly what you want, okay? It decreases the likelihood of anybody taking your Bitcoin. Now, if you would like to spend, if you want to have a spending account, okay, I have a spending account. I have an account with this company, Arculus. This is by far the most convenient easy and secure way that I've found to store my Bitcoin that I'm going to be using as spending money. Okay. So I try to get paid and pay in Bitcoin whenever I possibly can. Arculus has been the best way for me to be able to do this. Okay. I don't keep tons of money in here because it does technically connect to the internet, connects to an app in your phone. So keeping more than a couple hundred bucks in here is probably not a good idea, but it's extremely convenient. It's still extremely secure, and it uses three different security features. Okay. So biometric lock, which is your thumbprint, your, you know, face ID, whatever it is for your phone. Then you have to type in a numeric PIN that only you know. And then you have to pull out your Arculus card from your wallet and hold it literally right up to the back of your phone in order to send Bitcoin, which those are three fantastic features for keeping your money secure. That is, if you think about how difficult that would be for some thief to know all three of those things and figure out how to do all three of those things, that is extremely tall order for them. First of all, the bio lock, if it's recognizing your face or your thumbprint or whatever, that's a pretty difficult thing to hack to begin with. The numeric PIN, which is a PIN, you know, six numbers. Then the Arculus card, they'd have to physically have the exact card that you used to set up your wallet. All three of those things mean fantastic security. They also have business solutions, which is great. I actually have not gotten into their business solutions, but I'm very interested. Now I'm very interested to check that out because I've got a business and I try to get people to pay in crypto and Bitcoin. Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. So I have that card right there, Arculus, the black one. I think I also had a silver one as well. But it's super simple. You just keep it in your wallet. It's the size of a credit card. It makes it extremely simple. It's so easy to set up. The app is incredible. It's so simple. The cold wallet's only $99. It's not too bad. And like I said, it makes it extremely practical for you to use it day to day. Okay. Like there are plenty of resources to figure out where you can purchase things with Bitcoin. And we'll do an episode on that in the future. You know, if you happen to be at one of those places and you can pay with Bitcoin and this is just in your wallet and you've got a couple hundred bucks in there, that's perfect. Like, that's all you need. There are a bunch out there like this. Okay. This is not the only one. This is the one that I found. And I found it to be extremely helpful and very intuitive and easy. And this is the key thing right there. No stored recovery phrases. See, when you set up a cold wallet, okay, a randomly generated seed phrase is created for you, okay, which is 12 to 24 random words. I mean, they are extremely random. And in order for you to recover an account that you lost or confirm that it's you, you have to input those 12 to 24 words of your seed phrase. Okay. And there are certain companies that store those seed phrases online. There are certain people that store their seed phrases online. Do not store your seed phrase anywhere on an electronic device. Okay. Write it out in multiple places and hide them in places where you will remember and no one else will find them. If someone were to find your seed phrase and know that you're holding Bitcoin, they could go on to the blockchain and drain your account. That's what I'm talking about with the scary side of being your own bank. Okay. It is a huge responsibility, but it's something that it, like, we as, you know, if I'm assuming most people watching this are libertarians. We value personal responsibility. We value doing things on your own and not relying on other people. Okay. And being your own bank and not having to pay into the system that they've created, the system that is causing the dollar to fail, the system that is robbing you of over 99% of your hard-earned money since the year 1913, 99% of the value of your money has disappeared. In the last 4 years, 24% of what you had in 2020 has disappeared due to inflation and printing money. If you want to get out of that system, you have to take on responsibility of being your own bank. Okay. Because there's not, everything in the world is based on the dollar. You know what the only thing that isn't? Bitcoin. Highly recommend. I cannot recommend enough that you explore the possibilities of Bitcoin, that you explore how to take on that responsibility, how to store your Bitcoin, how to buck the system and launch into this new, what I believe will be the standard, the currency of the future is Bitcoin. Yeah, like I said, this is just one of the wallets. There are many, many, many wallets like this, including, so I've had experience with the Keystone wallet. It's a pretty solid wallet. It's not bad. It's a little harder to use. they ended up partnering with MetaMask, which drove me crazy, which is why I no longer use that stupid thing. But, it is extremely good because it is air gapped as well. So it never connects to the internet. It uses QR code based transactions. Then there's Trezor, which, let's see, there's one in here. The Trezor Safe. That's the one. This is the one that is, top of the line. People love this one. It's extremely secure. It's very easy to use. They've been around for a very long time. So if you want a company that's been around a while, but this is not so much for long-term storage. This is more for short-term storage to medium-term. Definitely not for transactional use, though. Like I said, Arculus has been the best one that I found for that. Yeah, I mean, I this is why I need an outline when I do these on Bitcoin, because I get so sidetracked by so many things. If you want to get started in Bitcoin and you're a little nervous about launching full scale into these cold wallet solutions, look, the exchanges work. Okay, the exchanges work, but you need to know the risks going in. Okay, the risks are you don't own that money. Okay, until that's in a cold wallet that you only you know the seed phrase for, you don't own that money. Okay, another thing that Coinbase does is what's called KYC, is know your customer. They abide by these insane government regulations, where basically they track every single thing you do. Your name, your driver's license is attached to your account. It's basically like setting up a bank account. Okay, the government knows exactly what you're doing in there and what wallets belong to whom and who's doing what on there. So there's that risk as well. Another great thing about Swan, they actively fight against KYC and any government regulations. That's what much of their time goes to, is fighting against government regulations and figuring out ways to avoid government regulation. And so yet another reason to invest with Swan and start buying Bitcoin through Swan. If you happen to be somebody who is thinking about altcoins, thinking about those coins that are just there to either get you rich or lose you money, then let me just give you a video right here, which is something that I watched a while ago. This is from Bitcoin University, which they're a great resource. If you want to really, really, really dive deep into Bitcoin, Bitcoin University on YouTube is a great place to do so. But I love what this guy has to say. So here you go.
Products. So the next question I always get at this point is, so which hardware wallet do I suggest for altcoins? And I always feel like this is like asking me what kind of pipe you should use to smoke crack. I get this question quite a bit. What hardware wallet do I suggest for altcoins? But the correct answer is just don't smoke crack. Don't be a crackhead. And also don't be a stupid shitcoiner. Bitcoin is a once in a lifetime global revolution. And instead, what are you doing? You're off in a back alley smoking Meth, Hex, XRP, Cardano, and all this other stupid proof of stake, pre-mined garbage. Are you doing this because you haven't done your research? Or are you doing this maybe, and this could be unfortunate, because you don't have any self-esteem and you're choosing to be on the receiving end of scammers and grifters? And I want something better for you than that, which is why I recommend Bitcoin-only wallets and why I focus on Bitcoin. Because remember, Bitcoin is the apex predator of money. There is no second best. There's just Bitcoin. Bitcoin has the head start. Bitcoin has the fundamental security properties. Bitcoin has the decentralization. And Bitcoin is ethical money. It was not pre-mined. It was not issued by a corporation pretending not to be a corporation or anything like that. So remember, there's no second best. There's just Bitcoin. That's what you should own, in my opinion. And that's why you need a Bitcoin-only wallet. Because once you understand how valuable Bitcoin is, you're going to want to secure it properly. If you found this diversity...
There you go. That could not have said that better myself. Bitcoin University over on YouTube. Fantastic. Highly recommend. Yeah, y'all, I'm always around. I welcome questions. I welcome concerns. Whatever, if you need literally for me to come over to your house and help you set up a Bitcoin wallet, I will do so. Okay. If you want to get on the phone and I'll walk you through it step by step, I will do that. We can do it together. We can test out a transaction. I'll send you some sats and yeah, we'll get it done, because that's how much I believe in this currency. That's how much I believe in this technology. And I 100% think it's the future. And I think it's the way to escape the fractional reserve inflation monster that is the Federal Reserve and the US dollar. And yeah, I think that'll pretty much do it for today. Like I said, if you have any questions, comments, feel free, put them in the chat, put them in the comment section below. I will try to respond to whatever y'all send. And yeah, I'll try to put all these links in the episode description as well, so that you can see all this stuff. And I think I actually might get a referral thing from Swan if y'all sign up for that, but I don't really remember if that's the case. Yeah. If you have any questions about the Libertarian Party of Georgia, you can go to lpgeorgia.com to learn more about what we're doing around the state to spread freedom and liberty for all, to fight against government authoritarianism, and to help you live a little bit more free life. lpgeorgia.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at lpgeorgia. And if you were wondering where Liberty Libations was this past Thursday, well, it has left the Libertarian Party of Georgia's platforms. Okay, so it's over on, it's on Rumble, Odyssey, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, what else? And Instagram. It's not, I mean, it is on Instagram, but I don't live stream on, we don't live stream it on Instagram. On most of those, you can just type in Liberty Libations and you will find us. Some of those you have to type in my company's name, which is Peaceful Sea Productions, Peaceful C S E A. Yeah, we just felt that it was more suited to be outside of a political party and more independent. It allows us to hit more topics, have more opinions, and do things that don't necessarily jive with the, you know, political nature of the Libertarian Party. It allows us to be a little more free. And, you know, I'm an anarchist, so that sits well with me. All right, y'all. I really appreciate y'all tuning in. Like I said, any questions, concerns, comments, whatever, please send them my way. You can contact me directly, director@peacefulcproductions.com. You can also email the podcast@lpgeorgia.com, but I got to say, I do not, I don't look at that very often. So there you go. That's it for tonight. We'll see you next week for more Free Georgia Podcast.